Faithfulness isn't terribly fashionable these days. Unfaithfulness is one of the hallmarks of this generation of people that we live amongst. There's unfaithfulness in marriage, unfaithfulness in business, unfaithfulness in promise, unfaithfulness in friendship. Disappointment and broken promises and unfulfilled expectations are a feature of everyday life. We hear politicians pleading for our votes, and they promise all sorts of things, and 3 or 4 years later, when they're seeking to be re-elected, the things that they promised the first time round haven't been fulfilled. And the reason that unfaithfulness is so serious isn't just that we get scunnered with people's lies. It's an indirect attack on God. It gets to the stage where we're so used to being let down by people, being let down by promises, that we don't know whether to believe this book or not. Whenever difficulties come, we feel immediately that God too has let us down. Faithfulness has become such a rare commodity. You know, if somebody's been married for 50 or 60 years, they're bound to be in the radio. Somebody's bound to go and interview them. And the amazement isn't that they've lived so long, that they've been married for 50 or 60 years, it's that they've stayed together and that they've been faithful to their marriage vows. And people commend them and praise them, and it is good, but it shouldn't be a rarity. And whenever someone keeps their word and does something that they promised to do, we're inclined to praise them. But it shouldn't be so rare a thing that it needs to be praised. We should appreciate it, yes, but it should be a common quality. And the lack of faithfulness in ourselves and those around us causes us to stumble if we're believers when we consider our relationship with God. Life isn't easy. It's not as if once someone becomes a Christian, all is rosy. In fact, often believers struggle just as much, if not more, than others. Christians are not exempt. Suffering, failure, sin, discouragement, illness, loneliness, disappointment, depression, all these things hit Christians too. And at times there can seem to be no way forward, no way to turn, no way to go. There's no light at any end of the tunnel. You don't even know which way the end is. And tears dim our eyes, and questions flood our minds, and our questions drown out the still small voice of God. And we wonder to ourselves, why is this happening? Where is God? Has God abandoned me? And as Jeremiah looks at the wreckage around him, he reminds himself of one great unchanging truth. And that unchanging truth is not that God is sovereign, although he is. It is not that God is going to judge these men, although he does remind himself of that. It is not that God works all things together for good, although God does. But the truth that Jeremiah reminds himself of in the midst of this catastrophe is, despite what I can see, God is faithful. Great is your faithfulness, he says. Not where is your faithfulness, or how on earth is this faithfulness, but your faithfulness is great. Surely that was the last thing it looked like. It looked as if God had been unfaithful, as if he had forgotten his promises. Jeremiah knows that God does not forget his promises. And so that's what he reminds himself of. Whatever else I see, one thing I know, God is faithful. And if we're to live with confidence in a world that is wrecked by sin and where there's suffering, we need to be convinced of God's faithfulness. And if you're not a Christian today, you too need to be convinced of God's faithfulness, that the promises that are in here are true. Promises of forgiveness, promises of hope, promises of joy, promises of change, promises of judgment are all true. He's faithful and keeps his word. This is our text. Great is your faithfulness. I want to show you this in different ways. God is faithful in his purposes. God is faithful in his purposes. What do we mean when we say God is faithful? We mean that he does what he says he was going to do. There's nothing false about him. He will never break a promise. He is utterly reliable and dependable. The Bible is full of examples of that. In Genesis 8, after the flood, God promises that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Seems a fairly basic promise. But God has kept that promise. Every year, every new day is an evidence of his faithfulness. You might say, well, that sort of thing just happens because that's the way the world is. In Genesis 15, a few chapters later, God promises Abraham, your descendants will go down into Egypt, and they will be ill-treated for 400 years. But I will punish Egypt, and they will come out with great wealth. 400 years later, God's people were in Egypt. Or not 400 years later. A long time later, God's people have been in Egypt for 400 years. They were beginning to wonder, had God abandoned them? Had God proved faithless? But no, God delivered them from Egypt. And they came out with great wealth. The Egyptians gave them their gold and their silver to leave. God was faithful. We could pick examples all day. One of my favourites, because it led to a conversion of a man that I know, is Micah 1:6. For many years ago in 750 BC, Micah prophesied what God had said to him. Therefore I will make Samaria a heap of rubble, a place for planting vineyards. I will pour her stones into the valley and lay bare her foundations. 1200 AD, 2000 years later, the Arabs cleared the site of Samaria, threw the stones down into the valley and planted vineyards. God had been faithful again. In Jeremiah, in his own book, in the longer book that he wrote, in Jeremiah 25, God promises him that the exile will last 70 years. When God's people who had been taken away from this catastrophe in Jerusalem, those who had been spared, were taken as captives, God said that will last for 70 years. Daniel is reading Jeremiah's prophecy, and he knows that God is faithful. And what happens? After the 70 years are up, Daniel is praying that God would release the people. And what happened? God was faithful. The people were released. Daniel himself, in Daniel chapter 9, gives an amazingly detailed prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. And it was so that in all likelihood that was what the wise men who came from the east, from Persia, had been reading. And because they were reading it and studying it, they arrived just at the moment in history when the Messiah was born. Because God hadn't forgot his promise. God proved faithful to his word. In Genesis 3:15 is the great promise. God promises Adam and Eve that a child would be born who will one day grow up and crush Satan. And the Jews looked and waited long and hard for this deliverer, the serpent crusher, to come. And many other promises were added to that. He was to be born to a virgin. He was to be born in the family of David. He was to be born in Bethlehem. That he would flee as a child to Egypt. And then that they would go and live in Nazareth. That he would be crucified. That he would be betrayed by a friend. And after 4,000 years, God was faithful. The Messiah came, born to a virgin, in the line of David, born in Bethlehem, fled to Egypt, and came back and lived in Nazareth. God is faithful. God is faithful in his purposes. When he plans something, he sees it through. He's faithful in his purposes. And he's faithful in his purposes not just in scripture that we hear. He's faithful in his purposes for you in your life if you're a believer. Now what is that purpose? He's going to make you like his son. He's going to take you to be with him forever. He is going to make you holy. He is going to take away your sin. He is going to guard your soul throughout the dangers of this life. Those are the promises he makes. That is his great purpose. And he is faithful and keeps his word. Having seen the purpose, that God is faithful in his purposes, whenever he something sees it through, I want to look secondly that at the breadth of God's faithfulness. At the breadth of it, there are 7 times in the New Testament where that phrase is stated explicitly, God is faithful. And each time it's tied to something different. Well, more or less each time, 6 of the times are different. And in these 6 things we see the breadth of God's faith. He's not just faithful in one area. Let me give you these verses. In John 1, or 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, what does it say? He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's one aspect of his faithfulness. He's faithful in pardoning us. There's another aspect in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. He's faithful in protection. This word is a military word, to garrison or to guard. Soldiers stationed outside a building to protect it from intruders. That's how God guards our soul. God is faithful in pardoning. He's faithful in protecting. He's faithful in providing for us when we're being tested. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Another area where God is faithful, pardoning, protecting, providing. He's faithful in his promises. And this is the one that's repeated twice in the New Testament. I'll give you one of them. God, in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Why do we need to hold unswervingly to it? Because there's things that make us swerve. There's things that come into our lives that when we're trusting in God and something happens and we're like to go whoop way off to the side because we get thrown offline because we get discouraged. But here, the writer of the Hebrews says, hold unswervingly. Don't get kicked off course because he who promised is faithful. He's faithful in his pardoning and his protection and his provision and his promises. He's faithful. The fifth one is his preserving. You know, one of those times you're likely to swerve off course in a Christian life. You wonder, can I make it to the end? It's too hard to be a Christian. God says in 1 Corinthians 1:8 and 9, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful. Here is something you can be sure of. I will underline it not just by telling you, but I will tell you that God is faithful in this. And this is Paul, who had been stoned and left for dead, who had been whipped and beaten into a pulp, who had been shipwrecked, who had been had his life attempted or his life tried to be taken from him many times. This is Paul saying this. God is faithful. See the vast scope of God's faithfulness. There's the sixth one where we're told that God is faithful. He's faithful not just in protecting us, in pardoning us, in his promises, in his preserving us, in his provision, but he's faithful also in pruning us, in purifying us. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. In other words, make you pure. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. There's things in our lives that we need to get rid of that are harmful to us. There are qualities in our lives that are missing that we need to develop. And God isn't going to let us go through life stunted by our shortcomings or harmed by sin. He's going to be faithful, and he's going to prune our lives. And he's going to seek to the bad of us and to help to bring good into us and to cause that good to develop. He's faithful in that. See the vast scope of his faithfulness. It's not just in one area or another area. He's faithful over an immense range of areas. His pardoning, his protection, his provision, his promises, his preserving, and his pruning or purifying. And the great heartbeat that undergirds every single one of these is that God is faithful. God is faithful. In all of them, God's faithfulness is certain. Great is His faithfulness. Why is it that we need to be told that in these verses? Because those are areas where we have doubts. We doubt God's pardoning. How could God forgive me, a sinner? So we need to be reminded that He's faithful. Whenever we're struggling, we need to be reminded that God is preserving us. He's protecting us. Whenever a promise doesn't seem to be coming true, we need to be reminded that God is faithful in His promises. These are all areas that we need to be reminded, and God in His kindness reminds us by reinforcing it, by saying God is faithful. Perhaps you do have a question. You're like Jeremiah. And you know that life isn't always pleasant. And you wonder, what about trouble? Is God faithful in times of trouble? Or what has happened? And the third thing I want to say is not just that God is faithful in His purposes and that there's a great breadth to His faithfulness, but God is faithful in trouble and through trouble. If we're being honest, there are times when God does seem far away. There are times when He seems to have broken His promises. But Christians know that God promises never to leave them or forsake them. There are things that occur to us. What has happened? Has God stopped being faithful? And sometimes it comes as a real shock to the system. You've been seeking to be obedient, and then you're abandoned, so it seems. You think, why? What has happened? And we've got questions. If God is faithful, why does trouble come? Why does He seem so far away? Why does He not answer my prayers when I call to Him? Why does this promise not seem to come true? There's a key truth we need to keep in mind. God is faithful in the breadth of His faithfulness and in the purpose of His faithfulness. Often we have a very small view, a blinkered view of God's faithfulness, and we only see one bit of it, and we miss what He's doing. Remember that God's great plan for you is not just to get you to heaven by the skin of your teeth, but to make you into the man or woman that you can be by His grace, to be glorious and godly. To make you as Adam and Eve would have been had they not sinned. Now that's fantastic. To make you like His own Son. That's what He's seeking to do. That's His purpose. And His faithfulness is spread wide over that purpose. And trouble doesn't mean that God isn't faithful. It means that He is at work. Scripture is full of believers who are in trouble. But never once does Scripture give us the impression that God has turned His back and that that's the reason that disaster has happened. What Scripture shows us over and over again is that God is seeking to develop His people, to prune them and to purify them and to cause them to grow. Because there are qualities you can never learn except in adversity. Some of you know John that works with me and Letterkenny. John got a phone call the other day from a young fella who he meets down at the gym. And the young fella, he's quite skinny, and he always wants to be bigger built. And his mum had bought him some diet supplement, you know, for bodybuilders. And this fella rung John, and he said, oh, you know, my mum's bought me this, I'm taking it, and it should be great. And John said to him, look, that'll do you no good unless you get down the gym and work hard and put the effort in. There's some things you can only get with hard work, by going through difficulty. And it's the same here. There are qualities in the Christian's life that we can never learn except in difficulty. Qualities that cannot be seen except in adversity. You know, you don't become patient by magic. You don't wake up one morning and say, oh, I'm much more patient today. You learn patience whenever people are rude to you or ignorant to you, when you're going through sickness, when you're going through illness, you learn patience. We want God to increase our faith. How can our faith become stronger? By going through a time whenever all we can do is cling to the very promise of God. And we don't know what God's doing with him. We've got a promise that he's not going to leave us or forsake us, that he's working all things together for good, that he has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. And we're going to cling to that because that's all we have. And our faith is forged and strengthened in those places where our faith is tested. You know, we ask God to give us opportunities to be a witness. So we find ourselves in circumstances where we have to stand up for what we believe in, where we're singled out and isolated and we've got to take a stand. God's answering our prayers. He's developing us. He's causing us to grow. It's not that God has stopped being faithful. He is being faithful. He's doing exactly what we've asked him to do because he knows it will make us more like Jesus. And trials are enriching. You know, the wind blows hard on a small, slender sapling. And it bends in the wind. It bends. And what's happening? Its roots are being strengthened. Its trunk is being strengthened. Its branches are being strengthened. The same with the belief in trial. You may think that the winds will break you, but they will be the making of you. Your Father is faithful and he will never blow too hard. That's his faithfulness. That's his faithfulness. And came across an illustration from medieval history. The Black Prince, Prince Edward of England, when he was only 16 years old, led the front line of a battle at Crécy in France. And his father, with a stronger force, had drawn aside, and they were up on a mountain looking down on the battle, not taking any part. And the young prince was hard pressed, and he was thinking that the enemy were going to capture him, that they were in considerable danger. And again and again he sent word to his father, "Come and help us, come and help us." And the king sent word to him. He said, "Tell my son that I am not so inexperienced a commander as not to know when help is needed. And I am not so careless a father as not to send it. I know when you need help, and I'll send it when you need it." That's our Father for us. He's watching. He's closer to us in our battles than we often suspect. You know, he's helping us just enough to keep us going so that we can grow and learn. You know, like a child learning to ride a bike and the stabilizers are off for the first time. And the father hasn't let go, but he's only holding on a bit so lightly that the child doesn't quite realize. And the child's scared, and they're shaking as they go off down the driveway. But the father has his hand on the back just enough to keep it steady. And the child's learning and developing and growing and learning to ride the bike without stabilizers. But the father still is a touch ready to help and helping all the time. God is faithful like that. Often when we think he is inactive, that is precisely the moment when he is at work. God is faithful in the midst of our troubles. He's faithful in the midst, and we have to trust his goodness and his wisdom at this point. He isn't just faithful in the ways we want him to be. We put our blinkers on and we say, "Oh Lord, I'm in danger. You said you'd protect me, and you're not." What's he doing? He's also preserving us in our difficulty. He's providing for us the strength to stand up under it. He's sanctifying us and purifying us and making us more like Christ. He's being faithful. You know, like a parent who lets their child persevere in a difficult situation because they know that they're learning and they're growing and they're being strengthened, and that to rush in is precisely the wrong response. But the parent's ready. The parent's ready. There's one very clear place we can look to see this faithfulness. It's at Calvary. It's at the cross. We see the vast breadth of God's faithfulness in the blackest moment in world history, where we see him keep his word to the uttermost for you. He promised in Genesis that he would send someone to crush Satan. And here at Calvary it happens at immense cost to God the Son and at immense cost to God the Father. And he's being faithful to his word. And when things looked bleakest, they were at their brightest. Here is the guarantee that you, if you're a believer, will never be abandoned or let down. You were bought at immense price. And and you're precious to him. And when you come out the far side of troubles and trials, like the psalmist, you may well say, it was good for me to be afflicted. In faithfulness you have afflicted me. One writer says, though you cannot now harmonize God's mysterious dealings, on the one hand, with his promises of love on the other, wait him for more light. In his good time, he will make it plain to you. The sequel will demonstrate that God has neither forsaken nor deceived his child. God is faithful in trouble. And then finally and briefly, God's faithfulness can therefore be rested on. It can be rested on. What a wonderfully comforting doctrine. Here is something that we can grasp. If we can grasp, we can rest on it. God never abandons us. That'll keep us from worry. That'll keep us from worry. God is faithful. We don't need to worry about tomorrow because God is faithful. This will keep us from grumbling and complaining. Our Father knows what is best for us. And all that comes to us comes from a faithful hand. This truth will increase our confidence in God. We will know that he's faithful. Peter writes in his letter, so then, those who suffer according to God's word should commit themselves to their faithful Creator. Grasping this truth will give us hope. How dark and terrible this world would be if we thought that all that happened to us was a result of blind chance. But no, whatever we face, if you're a believer, comes from the hand of a loving God. Here is how the Christian more than conquers the problem of suffering. Grasping this will also make our witness, our testimony, shine brightly. And people see our restful trust in God's provision, in our determined efforts to trust him amidst dark days, then the glory of Christ will be seen all the more brightly. Now people will see that God is real to us, that Christ is real, and that our relationship with God is real. Friends, if you're a believer, God can be trusted. If you're not a believer, God's faithfulness can be trusted. His faithfulness to pardon you for all that you've done that's wrong, to provide a place in heaven for you, that faithfulness can be trusted. I'll finish with a story I came across. In 1989, an earthquake measuring 8.2 in the Richter scale flattened much of Armenia. 30,000 people were killed in less than 4 minutes. Samuel and Danielle had just sent their young son Armand off to school when the earthquake struck, and Samuel, the father, grabbed his coat and rushed to the schoolyard, and when he reached the area, he saw the school completely levelled. His son's school was in a pile of debris. Other parents were standing around weeping. And after the initial paralysing shock, Samuel remembered that he had promised his son recently, no matter what happens, I will always be there for you. As he looked at the flattened mass of concrete and debris, it seemed as if he would never see his son again. But over and over in his mind, he kept remembering the words of his promise. And he went to the area of the rubble that he knew his son's schoolroom was in. It was the back corner. And he went to that and he started to dig. And parents came to him and said, stop. It's no use. And the firemen came and they pulled him off the rubble, and they said, go home, we'll take care of it. It's too late. But he kept digging. The police came, said, go home, you're angry and upset. You're not helping. But he dug on through the night. Parents came the next morning and placed flowers around the rubble, pictures of their children in the rooms. And he dug through the next night. 24 hours, 30 hours. After 38 hours, he pulled back a large slab of concrete and heard a faint cry for help. Samuel listened. He didn't hear anything. And he heard a muffled voice, Papa. Finally, after digging furiously, he could see his son. "Come on out, son," he said with relief. "No," Armand said, "let the other kids come out first, because I know that you'll come and get me." Child after child emerged until little Armand appeared. Samuel took him in his arms, and Armand said, "I told the other kids not to worry, because I knew you were coming." That's the faithfulness of an earthly father. I can tell you that God's faithfulness is much, much greater. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's pray.